My youngest and I enjoy watching an animated movie, The Guardians. The movie represents Sandman, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, guarding children from the boogeyman. Jack Frost is another protagonist and a potential new guardian. My favorite theme is that each character has a center. Throughout the movie, the centers of wonder, hope, childhood memories, peaceful rest, and fun are discussed as the protagonists, and fear is the antagonist. In the center is the foundation for each character because it is their why. For the characters, it's what they protect in children, their purpose, and why they are called to be a guardian. It reminds me of the question, what is your why? And answering that question and operating from our center is when we are strongest, in our flow, and most impactful. My center and why is care and service. It's grounded in the belief that organized, dedicated people can do anything. I embody this by accompanying people through this sacred life journey, and this threads through everything I am and have done with my life. Paul Farmer, Ophelia Dahl, Jim Young Kim, and Todd McCormick met in Haiti and Harvard. Paul and Jim became doctors to practice caring for the poor, living out their social justice. Each of them operated from their center and together built a nonprofit that applied liberation theology in Haiti, Lima, Peru, Rwanda, saving millions of lives. Throughout this service and into the day, I invite you to spend some time with wonder and curiosity. I invite you to take a minute and consider, what is your center? We can find our way toward our center with learning, grace, atonement, forgiveness. It can be painful, joyful, inspiring. Bit by bit, we find our center with, and we find what fills us. And when we find that, we can face some estrangements that were originally described by Paul Tillich. The estrangement from ourselves, from the ground of our being, however we describe that in a way that makes sense to us and each other. At this time in our lives, we may be closer or farther from our center. How does it feel when we're closer, acting from that central core of who we are, those committed values? And at times in our journey, we may find ourselves farther from our center. How does it feel when we drift a little further? For me, in that time, everything takes more energy. It's less generative. And I'm more likely to slip into ways of thinking or being that do not serve me. What would it look like or feel like to move into the more of that generative space, to look beyond what is to what could or should be, that imagination that is so important to build the world we dream of? So my shorthand for operating from my center is being a guardian. Today, it's on my mind because Dr. Paul Farmer died in February. His lens of generosity, understanding of liberation theology, structural racism, and accompaniment inspire community ministers, physicians, advocates, public health leaders from around the country and the world. The documentary Bending the Arc is well worth the 100 minutes, as well as the book In the Company of the Poor. It was also influenced by my colleague Reverend Nancy MacDonald Ladd's book, Beyond the Good News, for this sermon. To set the stage, Haiti was a really rich French colony, and it was the first nation in this hemisphere to end slavery and be led by and for black people, participating in the age of revolutions with the French and the American revolutions, as described by Dr. Greg Carr. Fast forward to 1978, there was a lot of hope and promise. Ministers of health from around the world gathered at Alta Ama and made the declaration as overt colonialism was ending that the whole world would have health care for all. The poorest countries would be first in line, and the whole world would have health care by 2000. This would have been a type of global reparation, creating social medicine and bringing medical anthropology into public health, making healthcare a human right. Grounded in that joyful, celebratory time of plenty, it was a declaration from political leaders, but it wasn't grounded in the center, in that deep spiritual place of true change. It was still estranged from the lives of the poor, and most importantly, it didn't have accountability built in. I think we all know that beautiful vision and thought didn't happen. Father Gustavo Gutierrez, the acknowledged father of liberation theology, is another leader who serves from his center. And he offers that if there is no friendship with the poor, no sharing of the life of the poor, then there is no authentic commitment to liberation, because love exists only among equals. Since the Alta Ama Declaration wasn't between equals, the love and vision failed when a global recession hit and emerging economies struggled. As they were struggling, their safety nets were ripped out from underneath them by predatory lending practices from the developed world, from us, in our fears of a global recession. And beloveds, this correlates for today as we're experiencing the economic impacts of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, COVID, the supply line challenges, inflation, and all the stresses and crises that are rolling from one to another. There is a lot of economic hardship and fear. And these could be the perfect inspiration to make big changes, such as true universal health care to address the demonstrated health disparities, a distributed solar network to remove us from fossil fuels forever, and the other changes that would move us towards justice, a basic living income, quality jobs, and so much more, removing the estrangements and moving us individually and collectively toward our centers. Instead, in another white supremacy culture backlash, we see regressive attacks on voting, our trans children, women, first abortion, now birth control. And naming the pattern, seeing the pattern, helps to identify the root, fear. The people, like the antagonists in the opening story, in fear, people value economy over other people. And ironically, these damages, the connection, the kindness, the soul, leading to despair and fear of more change, the change that many of us dream of. Naming can also help us find ways to respond to these stresses from our center, our deep core values and connections to ourself, life, and each other. There are so many ways to fight fear and so many ways to honor the humanity, human rights, and atone for past wrongs, honoring intergenerational trauma and choosing our own path, as Sabrina shared in her reflection. Our UU values are a great place to start. Remembering that fear and rage are normal responses to in the face of injustice, it tells us what's important, and it means we're open, connected, and aware. Paul and Father Gutierrez collaboratively described three ways to address poverty: charity, development, and social justice. They offer that if charity is not between equals, like the opening declaration, when the wealth is supported by a system of extraction from the poor and marginalized, and then in charity some of that wealth is given back, it can never result in justice. Development can invite us to soaring new heights of innovation, but the costs and benefits are often unevenly distributed, and consequently it commonly, even paradoxically, can worsen the outcome gap. At its worst, it can support extraction. For example, the site where Olivia, Jim, Paul, and Todd had started to work was once a prosperous rural village in Haiti until a development project built a dam that flooded their homes, farms, and devastated a community. It is social justice, in love, true equity, pursued from a deep spirituality that guides us towards our center and sustained change. As Paul Farmer, Ophelia Dahl, Jim Young Kim, and Todd McCormick pursued social justice through the nonprofit Partners in Health, the circle of friends lived their values from their center, individually and collectively. And remember the story I opened with, The Guardians didn't fight fear alone. It is by necessity a collaborative effort. And in this collaboration, they embodied Margaret Mead's famous quote, "Never doubt that a small group of dedicated, thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Each brought their gifts to support and uplift each other. Is that not what we're called to do today? Bring our gifts and support and uplift each other. To gather with people who choose to act for peace and justice, to honor the humanity of people with marginalized identities, with presence, service, and centering their lived experience and needs. To stop harm and make societal structures that work for everyone. To atone for the ways we may individually and or collectively have fallen short in the past. We're currently facing an emerging infectious disease that has revealed dramatic health disparities in our society. And it is the latest in a long line of infectious diseases, tuberculosis, HIV, human papillomavirus, that have all shown a preferential option for the poor. We call this health disparities. Rebuilding our structures to have a preferential option of support for the poor, as Paul and Father Gutierrez advocated for in our medical systems, would be applied liberation theology. It is a call to a radical reimagining of the possible, a demand that we fix our systems, honor the worth and dignity of everyone, and center the voices of the marginalized. No one is left behind. What would this look like? I have two examples. When patients in Haiti died of tuberculosis, which is a curable with a complicated and expensive medical regimen, they didn't blame the patient for noncompliance, the situation, poverty, the distance, or travel for care. They did none of these things. What did they do? They fixed their system. They changed how they did medicine. They brought the medicine to patients with food. They built a hospital and places for people to stay while they received treatment. And they asked the people, "What do you need to heal?" And listened and built it. Finally, and most impactfully, they trained community health workers, members of the community to accompany patients until the patients felt they didn't need accompaniment anymore. Paul described, and I quote, "Accompaniment is to go somewhere with someone, to break bread together, to be present on a journey from beginning to end with elements of mystery, openness, and trust. The accompagnateur agrees to explore the other person's journey with them. It isn't known, to share their fate for a while, until whatever initiated it is deemed completed by the person being accompanied." What would that feel like? This program was theologically grounded in addressing the estrangements we described earlier, estrangements from ourselves, estrangements from the ground of our being and each other. This is applied liberation theology. And when I spoke of development before, I said it can worsen the outcome gap. Paul was very critical of differential care standards based on wealth or a commodification of medicine and the cost-benefit analysis. Following that method, people died of preventable disease. My second example, the Rwanda Minister of Health collaborated with Paul and his team to build a community health worker network. They tripled life expectancy in a country as it recovered from war and addressed a different infectious disease public health crisis, human papillomavirus and cervical cancer. They immunized 93% of the population with Gardasil, preventing the infection and thus cancer, saving thousands of lives. It was painful to watch white leaders without relationship or living the life of the poor criticizing the Rwandans for caring for their people in the way that made sense to them. A theme of health disparities recognizes the wisdom of the community. Communities know what they need to heal. Both examples used accompanigures grounded in community and care to accomplish what was literally considered impossible with broad imagination. 100% cure rate of simple tuberculosis, 85% cure rate of multi-drug resistant tuberculosis, to treat HIV in a low-income setting and prevent cervical cancer. These are beautiful examples of centering the people, centering the needs and the wants of the community, and partnering in a design of care and service with patients and community. This is a preferential option for the poor. I mentioned it a moment ago, and I'm going to invite you to explore it with me again. Just imagine for a second, what would it feel like to be accompanied, to be sick and accompanied, supported, have your medicine and your food provided until you deemed yourself well? Father Gutierrez offered he wanted to fight for liberation from a deeper place. He began to appreciate not only that one fights for liberation, but how one does it. He was drawn to those whose fight for justice emerged from a soul-deep quality of spirituality. In summary, all these really significant impacts came with a cultural humility, a connection to life, and a lens or a hermeneutic of generosity, centering the voices of the people living the events. I opened with a declaration that was empty. And in contrast, I will close with a declaration that and organize people that change the world. Its full text is on the Partners in Health website. Currently, HIV is a chronic disease and people have near normal life expectancies when, as long as they're diagnosed and have treatment. In the 1980s, that was very different. It was a mysterious plague that appeared out of nowhere. It was a death sentence, first blamed on Africa and then the LGBTQ population. Medicines were prohibitively expensive, complicated, and paternalistically, all international aid was limited to prevention measures only for years. The AIDS activist community was an international force. People were desperate, showing up, protesting, demanding a seat at the table, and they put pressure on governments around the world to do something. Activists are great at instigating change and motion in systems. Governments are great at scaling, resourcing, and rights. Advocates and government at their best are both grounded in the communities with lived experience. Partners in Health proved that treating people with HIV in rural low-income settings could be done. They imagined the impossible. They didn't accept that it can't be done. They imagined it and they did it. The patients who survived due to that care came and gave this declaration to the world, speaking from their lived experience, our first source. And I want to summarize some of their key thoughts. They spoke with gratitude for the care and the service they received, the accompaniment through their lives, and how their humanity, families, and communities were honored through that care. They named how poverty and profiteering challenged their humanity, claimed their inherent worth and dignity, and named structural violence as poor people. They offered solidarity to those who remained without treatment access. And unlike that opening declaration, this one, grounded in lived experience, supported by the prophetic words of people, supported in a global protest movement, this imagining reached the public sector and changed the world. A global fund for HIV treatment supported global treatment, saving millions of lives. Treatment options grew, simplified, and now we treat to prevent HIV. This deep commitment to care through tragedy, love, and community, friendship with the poor, operating from our center with the imagination of what could be, allows us to do hard things. We have done impossible things, and we will do them again. We know how to build and rebuild structures. We know how to build partnerships of expertise, advocates, the public sector, and those with lived experience. We know how to obtain and restore human rights. We do this operating from our center, bringing our gifts to uplift each other, accompanying each other, fighting for justice from that soulful, deep, spirituality, this community knows organized and dedicated people can do anything. While I highlighted Margaret Mead's famous quote earlier, and to some extent it is true, Partners in Health, the Southern Leadership Conference, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, all did great, amazing things and a small group of people. And yet, they were able to do those things because the power of the people was with them. The people of Haiti supported Partners in Health. Millions marched for Dr. King, and SNCC drew college students from around the country and the world. It does not matter whether we serve justice with time, treasure, or talent. We work for justice with what we have in this season of our lives, and the time is now. Let us rise in body or spirit and sing, Love Will Guide Us.